What does DNA say when it comes to the origins debate, that is, creation evolution? For example, some evolutionists like to point out that the DNA of chimpanzees, for example, is very close to that of man. And so, therefore, they say this is an argument for evolution. We're going to talk about this right now with Tom DeRosa, who's the founder and director of Creation Studies Institute, based in Fort Lauderdale, creationstudies.org. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Tom, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
Okay, great. So what does DNA say when it comes to the whole evolution creation debate?
Well, actually, DNA speaks very well for creation rather than evolution. The fact that DNA is a basic information carrier for life. All information for life is carried through DNA. Where did that information come from? Evolutionists have no idea. There is no theory where that where it came from. They suggest maybe it came from aliens out of space. It really, when we found DNA and found out that it carried enormous amounts of information, it put evolution way, way back. I mean, this really proves that there's a God, simply because where did all that information come from? And it covers all life. It came only can come from the hands of God. So we see that. We see that as being a truth factor. So when the genome was discovered in 2000 and they started to look at the human genome and look at how everything, all the DNA laid out, they found that was 3.2 billion kind of bits of information. And it was quite a lot of information that we have in our human bodies. And as they laid it out, you know, it was a great pronouncement in 2000. Francis Collins and others came out and said, look, this is, you know, this is like a work of God. And then as time went on, we realized that this DNA is full of information. It's able to be coiled into small bits of information, and it's just amazing when you look at that information and see what it reveals. Now, recently, not in 2006, actually, they came up with the fact that we are like 99%, our DNA is like 99% the same as chimpanzees. And I remember that statement. I remember the Time magazine with the chimpanzee and the infant on it, a baby chimpanzee and an infant, and they were proclaiming that was 99%. Well, that was a big foolish mistake, because as we examined the chimpanzees' DNA, we realized that they did a lot of cherry picking. They actually went and picked whatever they could pick up, and they like we normally would do a puzzle. You know, you would look at a picture, especially these complicated crossword, these, you know, puzzles that you put together, little pieces, and you look at that picture, and you would lay out the puzzle looking at the picture. Well, that's what they did with the DNA, and they only had about 750 base pairs, which is really very, very insignificant. They didn't have the whole chimp genome laid out. They only had a little bit of it. And of all things, it was floored by human handling. So no wonder we got 99% that looked like humans when we compared it. Studies have been done since then, and just more recently we've come to the conclusion it was more like 85%, not 99%.
Oh, so number one, they made a mistake. I remember talking with you about this many, many years ago, and I think you said, but Jerry, even that 1% difference between man and chimpanzee is so significant, and it involves, and I forgot the number you gave, but it was a very high number of differences between man and chimpanzee. And there obviously must be differences, because man and chimpanzee are different.
Right. Actually, the more studies have been done, it's 4.5%, actually, we vary from person to person. So I guess, you know, as time reveals itself and as information comes in, we see that the variations mean, you know, we see that 4.5% now, not 1%, but 4.5% is where humans differ.
From each other.
Yeah, that's how. So it's to me, it's a fascinating study. The government and much research has been done in the past years because, of course, disease is connected to DNA. 85% of cancer, for instance, is due to the mutations, which are mistakes in the DNA code. And so we look at, and that was a recent study by Science Journal, prestigious magazine. So we see that DNA has a lot to do not only with our existence, but also with our death.
Hmm. Now, okay, a couple of quick questions. First of all, the big story here is you're saying DNA argues for design. It argues that, you know, look, only God could have put this together. You did mention Francis Collins. Now, we once interviewed him and so forth, and he does, on the one hand, he'll say he even wrote a book called The Language of God, and he's saying this is so complicated, God is seen in DNA. And on the other hand, he says that he believes that God worked through the means of evolution. So he defines himself or identifies himself as a theistic evolutionist. I know we wouldn't agree on that, and I'm sure you don't.
No, I don't. Actually, it's unfortunate Dr. Collins went that way. You know, I don't want to, I believe it, I read his testimony, I believe he's, just from what he said, it seems like he believes in Christ, he believes the gospel, but unfortunately when it comes to the concept of death, I think he completely misunderstands it. You know, when we look in terms of theistic evolution, basically as Francis Collins believes in, he believes that evolution could cause this kind of, evolution can cause us to get better and better. And unfortunately, what we see is we see decay in the genetic code. And that automatically tells us that that's a response to sin, because we know that when Adam sinned, the whole world was cursed. And that meant death. And not just human death. It was death throughout the creation. In Romans, Paul says that the whole creation groans. The whole creation groans. So we see that everything is part of this curse in chapter 3 because of the sin of man. And so we see the effects in the genetic code itself, because the genetic code is basically information, and that information is the information of life. If you contaminate that information, if you misspell a word, for instance, in our language and keep misspelling it, you're not going to understand the word. It's the same thing with DNA. DNA has its own vocabulary. It's basically four letters that give us a whole bunch of information. And when we mess around with that code, and it happens not just because this is the study in Science Journal, not because of heredity or because of environment. 85% of the cancers are because natural things are happening, natural mistakes are happening right inside our code. So the sin has produced death, and that's what the Bible says. And we see death all around us, and it. Probably. Yeah, I mean, where's death come from? We know it's a curse from God. But when we look at it biologically, we can probably assume that it has a lot to do with the degeneration of the DNA code.
Huh. Now, one of the things that's said in one of your recent newsletters on the subject of DNA, and it's called Written in God's Code of Life.
Right.
It says this: if your DNA was stretched out, it would reach to the moon about 6,000 times. Now, wait, help me to understand. Does that mean 6,000 times we go all the way from the Earth to the moon and then back to the moon? I mean, 6,000 or reach to and fro, I guess, would be 3,000 times, but 6,000 times total. You mean, I can't believe it. I mean, that's... Well, that little kind of weird ladder, that spiral ladder sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, let me simplify this. It's, you know, when you look at DNA, DNA is like 2 nanometers. It stretches 6 feet. What does that mean? Well, 2 nanometers is very, very small. You need an electron microscope, not just a microscope, but an electron microscope to see it. And that DNA molecule, being so thin, is able to wind itself around and around and around and around. And in that DNA, as I mentioned earlier, has a code of life. And that code is being wound up very tightly, making our chromosomes. Many of the listeners are familiar with chromosomes, but they're all made of DNA, and that's our genetic material. So in a human being, you have 23 pairs of chromosomes for basically every cell. And so you could do some great comparisons when you think of DNA. One strand of DNA, one molecule of DNA would be about 6 feet tall. And so now you get to the dimensions when you talk about the trillions and trillions of cells in our bodies all carrying DNA. Now you get to the realization, and that's a lot of information. You can store so much information in DNA that it has become a marvel in science and technology. They're trying to, in some way, look at that information and see if they can even store materials in DNA. Recently, they did a video and were able to produce a video and put it in the DNA code. I don't know how it was reported in the journal. I didn't read the specifics how that took place. But DNA is amazing. You know, when you look in terms of the fact that you can take a postage stamp and cut it a 15th of a postage stamp, and in that weight of that 15th of a postage stamp, which I think most of the listening audience would can visualize, is that you have enough information to make 5 billion people. That's how amazing the DNA molecule is.
Wow.
It's able to be stored. It's thin. It winds itself around in an instant. It can open up and carry information that's needed to replace cells.
Definitely in need. Yeah, that's amazing. Let's go back to this moon thing, though. It would reach to the moon, which means that it's about 6,000 times its original size.
Right.
That's what that means when you say
right.
if your DNA were stretched out, it would reach to the moon, all the way from the Earth to the moon. I mean, that is
right.
astounding. That's we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, going back to something real fast, you said there's chromosomes in every cell of our bodies.
Right.
And those are, of course, comprised of the DNA code and so forth.
Right.
But wait a minute. Now, you think about this. If somebody says, well, who cares about the creation-evolution debate? It has no implication on life. Well, wait a minute. Look at the whole transgender confusion debate that's going on in our society. From an evolutionary standpoint, I suppose, you know, if a boy thinks he's a girl, then so be it. But biologically, that boy, according to every cell of his body, is biologically a male. And that's because that's the way God made him. And so there are implications, you know, to everyday life on this origins or to this origins debate.
God gave us our identity in Genesis 1:27 when he said, let us create man in the image of God. In the image of God, he created them. He created the male and female. I believe in the DNA code, as you mentioned, we are identified. We're identified as male or female. And, I mean, once in a while there's an exception, but very rarely, and that's because of genetic mistake. Most, you know, like 99%, you're gonna be able to, and I don't know the statistics offhand, but it's a very, very small percentage. You can identify every human being's sex by taking the chromosome study, and you could do that simply with a microscope. It's not difficult at all.
And this is in
tell somebody's a male or female.
Tom,
identity has been given to us since when we were born. When we were conceived.
And this is every single cell of our body?
Yes.
Wow.
The only cells you might have a problem with is the hemoglobin, because what happens in the hemoglobin is it's as it's produced, the nucleus it becomes denucleated.
So,
you might not be able to, it doesn't have all that DNA information in there.
Wow.
But I mean, skin cells,
everything,
you know, hair cells.
We're basically out of time, but I do have enough time to give your website again, creationstudies.org. Thank you so much, Tom, for being with us again, recapping our top story. DNA shouts to the rooftops of God's creation. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.